Thank you, Bob. You know, you follow the orders of your spiritual daddy, and I just want you to know, Bob, if the Lord does come before I get down from here, I'm going to go up first. There's a lot of things that I don't know, but a couple of things I do. I was born February the 27th, 1939, and was born again March the 25th, 1968. And well over 90% of my lifetime in between those two dates centered around an involvement within the church, some form or fashion. I was born into a home that saw that I went to church. I was raised in the church, and I had been involved in the church institution for the better part of that time. But you know, I went through 4 years of high school and 9 years of college, and was in practice 3 years before it dawned on me that I had missed the boat. After graduation from optometry school up in Memphis, Tennessee, and the taking of the state board examinations, Carol and I moved to Orlando, Florida, and went into practice there, an associate practice with a fellow. And while we were there, we decided that, knowing absolutely no one, that we'd go to church, and that's where we'd meet somebody, and that's why we went to the first church downtown, and we went there to meet some folks. And the first Sunday morning, I remember sitting in the congregation out there, and they had these little cards that you fill out, visitor's cards, and we signed one of those and put them in the collection plate. It was about 2 weeks later that as I came home from work each day, they let you know whether you passed these state board exams or not by way of telegram, and you don't practice much till then. So each day I had been anticipating the arrival of that yellow envelope in the mailbox. So as I drove in from the office coming into the house, I saw this little yellow sliver of paper sticking up out of the mailbox. Well, I tore out of the car and I went in and I opened that thing up. And it says, "You have successfully passed the state board exams and licensed practice optometry in Florida." Well, that tickled my heart. And I tore in there, and I opened the icebox door, and I grabbed a can of beer in each hand and opened it, and the telegram in between my teeth, and Carol was coming in the back door, and the doorbell rang at the front door, and I went to the door and kicked open the door, and there was a smiling face, and, "Hello, my name is Reverend Cleveland. I'm from the First Church downtown." So that was my first in welcome to Florida by way of a pastor, and that dear man has a church here in your area. Perhaps you know him. But nevertheless, it wasn't long after that that I was unhappy, and I was after the dollar bill, and I figured I could do a little better on my own. And so we moved our practice out to Maitland, Florida, which is a suburb of Orlando. Got out there, and because I was after that dollar bill, I just decided, well, the thing for me to do is change memberships. So we changed the membership from the big church downtown to the little church out in Maitland. And I did that for one reason. I thought that if I exposed myself to a lot of people out there in Maitland, through the church and through its activity, that if they got around me and saw me, when they needed professional help, they'd come see me. And so that's what I did. And, I figured it was too far from Orlando, so I'd be better off out here. So we moved our church membership out there to Orlando, to Maitland. I remember sitting so many Sunday mornings in the congregation, sitting out there where you're sitting tonight. And I remember some of the thoughts that went through my mind. And I know, because you're Christians, that you might not understand this, and I'm certain you've never experienced it. But I remember sitting out there, and on Sunday mornings when people would come in, you know, I'd watch them coming in big at the little and bottom at the top, and I'd be critical of everything that walked by, because just my nature. And I remember even sitting in the congregation, looking at the pastor many times, you know, and I'd always get a pretty good seat right down here front, and I'd just stare at that preacher, you know, just eyeball to eyeball, just sit right at him. And all the time, I would be what I considered was the closest thing I knew to a quiet time, was organizing my thoughts for the next week. And a lot of times, I'd sit there looking at the pastor, and as an officer in the church, you know, I thought to myself, there must be a lot of people out there, Terry, that must think you are a godly man sitting up here, and what a wonderful, civic-minded fellow you are, and how active you are in your community and church. Boy, they're just probably all looking at you instead of the pastor. And I had a self-centered, egotistical heart and mind, and I was a very worldly person. And I sat in church many, many years doing that. Well, as you work your way up in the church through the program, oftentimes you're exposed to the financial situations. And I remember being exposed to the finances of the church, and I found out that what we were giving was around the four or five, you know, the top guys in the church. And boy, I was impressed when I found out that. You know, when the collection plate came by before, I used to turn my envelope down, and when I found out what I was giving, I turned it up so everybody'd see it. Now, I know, then I realize that you all don't have thoughts like that, being Christians, but I did. Well, among other things, in the church, they finally got around to asking need for a Sunday school teacher, and I volunteered for that. My friends, I got in the Word of God for the first time to study it. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." And when I got into the Word of God, God began to draw me, and things began to change in my life. And I began to see myself as the hypocrite that I thought everybody else was. And the things that I had neatly arranged in my life and so organized began to take on confusion and frustration. And everything wasn't working out like it was supposed to. And my walk in the church and community like that began to get real frustrating. I had a big thing about being accepted by people. And that was the most important thing in the world. And I felt like I was so confused at that time. When I'd get up in the morning and I'd leave the house, I felt like I was carrying a suitcase of masks. And everybody I came in contact with that day, I tried to choose and make myself acceptable to that person. And it got confusing not to know, you know, which mask to wear. And boy, it got confusing because I wanted to be accepted by people. And it got to begin to get real frustrating. The weekend before I met the Lord, an exciting weekend in my life, I remember Carol and I sitting on that Saturday afternoon in our home. And God had been drawing and things had been happening in my life. And I was confused. And Carol and I began to see the picture. We began to hear and see things we'd never seen before. And she began to cry and my eyes began to sweat. And we'd sit there and we'd share our hearts one with another. And then on that Sunday morning, for the first time, and this is hard for you to believe, I'm sure, being Christians, but in all that time that I was in the church for 29 years, I never heard the gospel and the saving power of Jesus Christ. I'm sure it was preached, but I never heard it. And that Sunday morning, I heard the story about God and about salvation, and that salvation was through asking Jesus Christ to come into your life. And I don't think 10,000 chains could have held me back that Sunday morning when he asked it. If anybody had wanted to ask Jesus to come into their hearts, would they come down front? And I remember just going down front, and as I look back on it, I remember this little girl that almost knocked me down getting down there. And later on, I realized that was my wife. And that morning, we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that was a wonderful day. Oh, what a wonderful day. The song that we just sang so much this weekend, "When Glory Filled My Heart." The next year was a busy year. And I wanted to grow in Christ so bad, but I didn't know how. And I equated activity, which I was already loaded to the hill with, I equated activity with my love for the Lord Jesus. And so therefore, I got even more active and I got bogged down. And I can remember that I used to go around and I would thrive on other people's enthusiasm for the Lord. I thrived on that. And I would read books about the Bible and about things and about this and about that. Wherever anybody would speak, boy, I was there to hear them about. And I thrived on their enthusiasm and their love for Jesus. But it never dawned on me that they got charged a different way from the way I was. And for weeks I had been praying in my life for God to give me some direction as to what to do in my growth and my walk with Him. We went all over everywhere in the state of Florida that year just sharing Jesus and sharing our testimonies. And I was living in victory when I was doing that, but the rest of the week I wasn't living in victory and wasn't bearing fruit. And my Christian life went up and down and up and down. And my walk with the Lord wasn't straight, and it got to be more to it than that. And God did hear my prayer. And almost a year to the day when the Lord, when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, God answered that prayer. And as a matter of fact, it was in the Presbyterian Church in Orlando. And Leighton Ford was holding a crusade there. And I went down to hear him one morning. There was a fellow down there that was supposed to do something with follow-up. And they were having breakfasts in the morning for the men. And I figured I'd go for that too. So I went down and I heard this old boy. And his name was Bob Foster. And he was a godly man. And I saw some things in him that I'd been seeing in other people. And I thought, well, this is a chance to find out. And I went up after and asked him to have coffee with me. And he did, and I came down and met him at noon. We had coffee, and a 10-minute coffee break ended up in a 3-hour conversation in the parking lot of the Minnesota Twins. And I shared my heart with Bob, and he later found out he was associated with the Navigators and a businessman from Colorado Springs. Bob began to ask a few questions like, well, Terry, how's your quiet time? How's your the writing of God's Word on your heart? You doing much of that these days? Are you studying the Bible much these days? Are you praying much these days? And boy, all that stuff was foreign to me outside of prayer. And I didn't know what was going on. And I told him. You know, the agronomists have a law. They call the law of root and shoot. Well, that was me. I love the Lord Jesus, but I didn't have any root system. You see, I had a lot of foliage going for me on my tree. It was bushy, but I didn't have any root system. And let me tell you, fall came, the leaves fell, that tree got bare, and every time the wind blew, it fell. And then I'd go hear somebody, boy, and I'd get charged up, get enthused again, you know, and 3 days later I'd fall. And then I'd go back and hear somebody else and get charged, and this went on for months. And finally, I got back and I got thinking about what old Bob said, and he left a phone number with me, and that was my spiritual daddy over here sitting down below me. And I called Bob. And we got to getting in the Word of God and began to have a quiet time. And I began to pray more. And I began to write God's Word on my heart. And I found a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that's wonderful. I know what He talks about when He talks about love and joy and peace. I know what it is to know Jesus in a personal way. He's come into my life real. Well, I think that looking at people for the next year and trying to find that one it that separated, what it was in men that separated that particular man where God was using from another. And God sent a man into my life all the way from the country of England and shared with us one night and crystallized in my mind what it was. And it's a life of disciplined obedience to the Word of God out of a love for Jesus Christ. That's what it is. I've claimed a verse for my life and for the lives of the men that God gives me. It's Colossians 2, 6, and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. Thank you, Bob.